Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And you know what? I'll do it again. Watch me work. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and I'd imagine still a disgusted Chris Canty right now as I break my own shoulder patting myself on the back for takes of takes past.
Yeah, I can't believe you're continuing to double and triple down on the give yourself flowers take. I still think it's absolutely ridiculous, but hey, you've shown that you're not above it. You're not above any level of petty. And I guess that's how we like it on Canty and Golic Jr. I will say this. We got some stiff competition when it comes to making headlines for ESPN radio shows, because the show that precedes us, Bart and Hahn, one Bart Scott decided he was going to go off this morning on Get Up. I'm just saying, Gojo.
It's going to be hard to top what Bart's pulled off here. I mean, getting quotes now out of Buffalo Bills camp that tight end Dawson Knox fears testing positive for some sort of banned substance as the reason he will not be taking Viagra at the suggestion of one Bart Scott to combat the cold. It's been a wild day around here at ESPN. Chris, like, do we need to call Bart Scott and check in on him, make sure he's doing all right? Because you played in the NFL for a long time, and you said that is never once something Bart Scott suggesting that he had teammates that went down that path in order to stay warm. I want to make it abundantly clear, you didn't have dudes in the locker room with you doing this, right?
No, not at all. Now, I had some guys go see Alice for some off-the-field issues, but never for something that you wanted pregame in order to get ready to play. Like, I'd never heard of that, so I guess the Jets were doing something different because Damian Woody co-signed on what Bart Scott had to say in terms of his advice to Josh Allen, so maybe it's just different in the AFC East, but I spent most of my career in the NFC East. I don't know nothing about that.
That is true. It's amazing how different life can be on one side of that building in MetLife to the other. This was Bart Scott, by the way, on Get Up with his suggestion for Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, as he prepares for sub-zero temperatures in the game this coming weekend against the Patriots.
The guy hates the cold. He doesn't play well. And he says the reason is because he's got bad circulation. So his toes get cold. And guys, you know, with your feet.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I can't. I don't really have a response to that. But you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean?
A lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
I want to make abundantly clear that voice you heard was a very confused and bewildered Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL reporter, proclaiming she is not a doctor. Neither is Bart Scott. Like, anyone out there who is listening right now, if you're near a gas station, do not go inside and buy any of those pills by the counter and think that it's going to help you as the temperatures get cold in the Northeast this weekend.
No, it absolutely does not work. And furthermore, when it comes to those directional schools, sometimes you get guys that represent those schools coming out with statements like that. I'm just saying, Gojo, it's not the way that you want to fly when it comes to trying to figure out a way to stay warm this winter. No. Probably not a good idea.
Please, please, don't do it. I beg of all of you right now.
Reconsider. Read some literature.
Sure, on the subject. Apparently, Bart Scott was very sure here. Now it makes sense why we used to see Bart flying around with such reckless abandon out there on the field right now. No one wanted to get tackled by that man in the middle of all this. So we are going to, again, public
Bart
service
Scott in the pile. Nobody wanted to be around him. Nobody.
He's diving for fumbles, and everyone's getting the hell out of there right now. Bart Scott led the league in fumble recoveries every year. Now we know why. Dear God. So again, PSA from Canty and Golic Jr. We do not condone or support the message put out by our radio peer and counterpart Bart Scott as a part of Get Up or Bart and Hahn here. We want to let you guys know that is not sanctioned by your medical professional. Talk to a general practitioner. Consult your physician. Do not consult Bart Scott.
Yeah, GP, MD, not an LB when it comes to prescription drugs.
Yeah, y'all don't want
to. We'll just leave it at that.
We will. By the way, we want to hear from you. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's over, and fans are celebrating their victory. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Chris, last night in the NBA, because we need to mercifully get to this NFL weekend before we get way more takes like this, the Brooklyn Nets kind of fired a shot across the bow for everyone here. We had the nightcap of the NBA schedule on ESPN, the Brooklyn Nets against the top seed in the Eastern Conference, Chicago Bulls. The Nets, after the Bulls tied this game at 71 in the third quarter, went on a 43-8 run to end this game and ultimately wind up winning 138-112. And Chris, while we're going to talk a lot about Kyrie Irving's role in this, and I believe we should, this was also just a reminder. Kyrie had 9 points in this game. Kevin Durant is the weapon of mass destruction on this roster, and he went fully off in that third quarter.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When it comes to Kyrie's presence on the court, you can't quantify it or his impact on the team by just his numbers or his stat line. It's just him being out there, being a part of that offense, being a threat to the opposing team that opens things up for a lot of other guys. And that was the thing that you saw throughout the course of that 43-8 run that they had between the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth quarter, because you're talking about seven Nets scoring buckets during that span. So Kyrie certainly has an impact on that in terms of being a threat and then being able to facilitate other guys' greatness. And last night, it was really about the greatness of James Harden as a facilitator. I mean, you talked about 25 points, but 16 dimes. Being able to get the ball to guys in their spots, being able to break down the defense off the bounce, being able to make the right decisions when he's getting out in transition. Having Kyrie Irving as that other guy that he can rely on and not having to have Kevin Durant log as many minutes as he has been, I think that's one of the key takeaways from last night's game. Also, didn't realize this, Gojo, but that's the Nets' first win against the top eight team in the NBA this season. Could not believe it when I saw the stat, but certainly they needed to make a statement about what this team was going to be capable of. The Chicago Bulls, one of those teams that's surprising a lot of folks in the early goings. Certainly they'll be in the mix when it comes to the Eastern Conference playoff picture, but the Brooklyn Nets clearly asserting their dominance, being whole, having their big three, and then seeing the role players be a huge part of that road win. I thought that was the biggest takeaway from that game last night. Like, this is a team that you're going to have to pick your poison when you're playing them. They have a lot of guys that can beat you, whether it's KD, Kyrie, or James Harden. On any given night, any one of those guys can beat you. So you're basically playing roulette in terms of what your defensive strategy is and trying to slow that offense down.
Is that the best team in the NBA right now, Chris? When Kyrie's in the lineup and they look like this, can anyone touch them?
I think Golden State can get pretty damn close. That Golden State Warriors team is really good, and I know that people are looking at them and saying, wait a minute, they lost to Memphis the other night, maybe not so much, but Golden State is pretty good. I think Golden State at their best against the Brooklyn Nets full strength, that's going to be a heck of a matchup. We could be talking about that being the NBA Finals.
Yeah, would not be shocked, and I'm with you. I think at this point, Ty goes to the team that's out there consistently right now. Golden State got Klay Thompson back. They're going to have all their parts on the court and be able to go through all this. This is the complicating factor that this Brooklyn team understands, that right now they can do this, but when you get to the postseason, we're going to have a different conversation. It's why James Harden, who you mentioned was the catalyst last night, was out in front after the game in their press conference saying, we need Kyrie Irving on these home games.
Nah. Like, we're that good. Like, we got a chance to be that good. We just haven't had, like, enough of it. You know, we got to get Kai, you know, to be able to play home games. And once we get that, then we can really assess it and figure out what needs to be done, what needs to be changed, or, you know, how great we can be.
Still open up some kind of hope that in some kind of fashion we'll see Kai play.
I'm going to give him a shot if I got to.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And
if I got to do it myself, it's going to get done.
And we said Bart Scott's not a doctor. Apparently James Harden is getting ready to apply for his medical degree. There was a conversation, Chris, being had about a hypothetical situation put out there. Would Kyrie Irving be able to play if the Brooklyn Nets were willing to eat fines? There was this conversation, I believe an article in the New York Post, talking about if the Brooklyn Nets were to eat fines, $1,000 for the first fine, $2 for the second, then $5 every time after, for breaking that New York State mandate that unvaccinated players for the home team would be ineligible to participate. Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, cleared that up. He tweeted out earlier, to be clear on the hypothetical ability for a team to pay a fine for an unvaccinated player to play in a marketplace that local ordinances forbid. An NBA memo to organizations on September 1st says that teams must follow local laws and players who don't comply won't be able to play. So this has always been a state issue for New York, a city issue, I should say, between that and the Bay Area, and the NBA making it clear in not so uncertain terms, you will not violate those, even if it's an easy street fine route for you to go to get Kyrie back.
Well, Mike, we talked about it in the production meeting. It was going to be tough for the Brooklyn Nets to survive the PR backlash for allowing Kyrie Irving, a non-vaccinated player, to be in that arena to jeopardize everybody, all the support staff, the coaching staff, the folks that work in those arenas that serve the team, and then the fans. Like, it was going to be a stretch for them to be able to survive that. That was one of those things that's a concern. And so the NBA essentially is taking that out of the hands of all 30 teams so nobody flirts with that idea, because we both know when it comes to billionaires and millionaires involved with professional sports at a high level, $5,000 for a game is nothing to them. That's a drop in the bucket. So from a financial standpoint, there's nothing that will preclude them from doing it, but it's just a matter of the optics of the situation. And based on what's happening right now with the Omicron variant being so prevalent in hospital and frontline workers being stretched to the max, the Brooklyn Nets would be sending a terrible message to the rest of the community. But they'd also be sending a message to Kevin Durant and James Harden that we're doing everything that it takes in order to help this team compete at the highest level, and that involves Kyrie Irving. But the one positive that I would say about what happened last night and Kyrie's presence, even if it just happens to be in the road games, is that you allow the role players for the Brooklyn Nets to be able to log some minutes and gain some confidence, because that was key for me last night in that Bulls game, seeing Patty Mills step up and make some big shots. Da'Ron Sharpe having a big role as an interior presence, both offensively and defensively. There are going to be some guys, some unsung heroes that the Brooklyn Nets are going to need to be able to step up if they're going to go on a championship run. And those guys being able to build up their confidence while you do have the big three when you're on the road, I think that's going to be key for them as they move down the stretch and get in the second half of the NBA season.
Massive. I think they all understand where this goes and what this is really about. And I think that's why you're also seeing James Harden as the loudest voice on this, because there is one guy in the midst of all this situation around the Nets that we talk about who needs this more than anyone. It's the guy without the championship. It's the guy whose legacy has largely been attacked for that reason. And it's a guy in James Harden who knows, hey, I've been the only guy on one of these squads. I've run out of gas with a running mate in Chris Paul. I don't want to live that again, so let's make sure we get this ironed out sooner than later. But that's still a message sent to the NBA last night as the Nets clobber the Bulls 138-112 as Kyrie Irving once again available to them on the road. Coming up in about 30 seconds, though, breaking news from ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter out of the NFL that's already got me scratching my head. We will get to that after this word from Wendy's. All right, guys, every day is game day at Wendy's. The game is choosing a better breakfast. And it's easy to win at Wendy's with heavy hitters on the roster like the sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant and the bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant. So if you're looking to score the best breakfast in the game, it's got to be the Wendy's breakfast, the official breakfast of the NCAA. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's, available at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours only. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. You can check us out on ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. And right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Breaking news from ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. The Texans have fired head coach David Culley, as the NFL Network and the Houston Chronicle had also reported. 1 year for David Culley. And Chris, I can see the look on your face, and I promise it is the same feeling I've got, is what in the hell is the impetus for this decision? You had a coach who went in there and completely outperformed any expectation we could have had of that roster, torn down after all what went on with Deshaun Watson in the offseason. You brought him over here to clean up this mess, and he got you 4 wins when he had no business being in that range. So I'm a little stunned by this.
In the bottom of the AFC South, I think you have to count that as a win. So I'm unclear as to what Nick Caserio thought the bar for David Culley to clear was. with all of the drama going on with the Deshaun Watson situation and not knowing his status and the grumblings about that right up until the trade deadline, the distraction that the entire locker room, that entire organization has had to deal with for the majority of this past year, for David Culley to go in and put that team in situations where they can be competitive, where they could pull off upset wins against teams like the Chargers, I'm not quite sure why they're moving on from him. And I guess this might be one of those situations, Gojo, where you're leaving your for show for some more because you think you got something that could be a better option. Somebody has given them a heads up that they would be interested in taking the job. Somebody that clearly, from a credibility standpoint, has more to offer than David Culley. But based on the performance and the job that Culley did down there, I don't think he deserved to be fired after one season.
No. So John McClain from the Houston Chronicle wrote that after 4 days of speculation, Culley became the first one-and-done head coach in Houston Texans franchise history. According to sources familiar with the situation, after they spent 4 days evaluating the personnel side, general manager Nick Caserio and senior executive vice president of football operations, haven't heard this name in a while, Jack Easterby, recommended that Culley be fired.
Oh,
Chairman and CEO Cal McNair signed off on it. And for anyone that doesn't remember, Jack Easterby was the name, the sort of shadow GM figure that was alluded to for a lot of this offseason that a lot of people pointed to back before Deshaun Watson's legal situation started to unfold as the reason why the Texans quarterback had wanted out of that organization, someone whose decision-making and whose grip on power had been largely questioned. And so, Chris, now to see this again, you're right, this has to be them knowing something, but this to me is also a reminder that the decision-making process there is still one that we should not trust.
Yeah, you don't trust the organization, and there's still some dysfunction that's happening in the front office. But again, I go back to what it looked like on the field. And this year wasn't going to be about wins and losses for the Houston Texans because we realized with their quarterback situation, they were going to be a work in progress. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen between Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills. We didn't know what was going to happen. And so the fact that you did see Davis Mills continue to develop and progress as a rookie quarterback with relatively low expectations, the fact that they were, again, a team that knocked off the number one seed in the AFC in a game this season in the Tennessee Titans, a team that beat the Los Angeles Chargers, a unit, a program that's clearly above where they're at from a talent perspective. I don't understand exactly what more they wanted from David Culley in year one. You knew that it was going to be a situation where it was rocky. He brought some stability to it, some credibility, because he's well-respected in NFL circles. And for them to move off from him seems like more of the same dysfunction that we've grown accustomed to seeing with the Houston Texans in recent years.
Yeah, and what a look now for the NFL, and an embarrassing one at that, where we sit here today currently after the firing of David Culley now and Brian Flores in Miami, Mike Tomlin now the only black head coach currently sitting in the NFL. And for David Culley, we knew he was walking into a bad situation. This reeked of the Houston Astros handing their team off to Dusty Baker and saying, clean up somebody else's mess. But for him to be the one-and-done sacrificial lamb in this situation, to hold over the gap year, Chris, for a league that's always had questions about hiring practices for minority candidates, this is certainly going to be something that they're going to get a lot of questions about, and rightly so.
Yeah, it seems like the bar, the goalpost, continues to be moved in terms of the expectations for minority coaches as opposed to their white counterparts, and that's something that the NFL is going to have to address. We'll see what happens in this hiring cycle. But as you brought up in our show yesterday, there are a lot of qualified candidates that are minorities this time around, and they better be landing some of these jobs when it comes to the 8 vacancies in the NFL right now. So we'll have to stay tuned on what happens, but I can't make heads or tails of why the Houston Texans did what they did today. Just makes no sense.
So again, as first reported by the NFL Network and the Houston Chronicle, confirmed by Adam Schefter, the Texans have fired head coach David Culley. Adam Schefter also expanded, when the Texans hired Culley, they only guaranteed him 2 years of money. They knew there was always a real chance he could be one and done. As one league source texted about his one-year tenure, quote, I knew it when he was hired. Straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. We will get into plenty more on that as we continue to get information about that situation, another head coaching job open in the NFL after this weekend. We'll also take a look to Super Wild Card Weekend and do what we do best around here. Rank some friggin' quarterbacks next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Super Bowl championship, what can you possibly do to top this?
Win another one.
Joe, what do you remember most about the first game against the Raiders?
Tough game, physical game. And we know that they're going to come in here and bring it just like they did that game.
No one thought that Pittsburgh would be able to even get to the playoffs.
Playoffs. You know, Chris, I realized something listening to all of that. It is so much easier to get hype and do all that yelling when you're a quarterback and you, A, don't got to worry about anyone coming to hit you, don't got to run very far, and also don't have to worry about anyone coming over and laying you the bleep out on each and every play.
Well, yeah, but quarterbacks are always being hunted on every dropback, so I don't know about nobody coming to hit you, but you don't have to hit somebody on every single play. So there is a difference when it comes to all that hype and enthusiasm, and one of the things I learned early on in my NFL career is don't do all that jumping up and down pregame because it's not going to help you. As a matter of fact, it's just going to tire you out once the real football starts being played. So just keep that in mind once you're talking about getting amped up for a playoff game.
Canning Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, putting you on game on that one. Look at any of those hype circles. You'll see the O&D lineman on the outside.
My advice is a little bit different than Bart Scott's. I got you.
Yeah, exactly. Stay away from the pile. Bart Scott's going to be in the middle. You don't want any parts of that based on what we heard from Bart here. But what we did hear, Chris, was a bunch of excited quarterbacks heading into this weekend. And while we won't see all of them going into the NFL Super Wild Card weekend, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, the one seed with the bye on the NFC side, Ryan Tannehill and the Titans on the other side, the one seed in the AFC, this is a time of year where, when all other things become equal, we usually look towards the signal caller and try and kind of make a lot of our predictions through that. I know 2017 felt like a year where we could win with anybody at quarterback. We had all those backups in. But in general, you need the dude here. Seth Walder from our ESPN analytics department put out his list of top quarterbacks heading into the postseason, the quarterbacks he trusts the most. Chris, who would you have at that number one spot on all this?
I would probably put Tom Brady at that number one spot just because of what he's been able to do. I don't want to say it's a lifetime achievement award, but just there is a certain trust factor when it comes to the GOAT being under center. And you know he's always going to put his team in the right position. He's always going to check the offense into the right play. And he's always going to find a way to be able to manipulate the looks that the defense gives in pre-snap. So I trust what Tom Brady is bringing to the table. I trust the body of work. There's a reason why they're tied for the best record in the NFL. And so even though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are limping into the postseason and they've got some depth issues at the wide receiver spot, I trust Tom Brady enough to be able to figure it out with the pieces that he has available to him.
Yeah, this is a tough one, Chris, because this is always about, are we separating the quarterbacks out? Are we saying in their current situation here? Because I look at Aaron Rodgers, man. I know we've had a lot of disagreements about this dude all season, but he has played some of the most consistent football of any quarterback we've watched this year. Patrick Mahomes has had to learn how to play a different style the way defense has approached him. Tom Brady is adjusting to the differences now that he's lost all these weapons. And there's been Aaron Rodgers the entire season, steady as can be here, continuing to throw very few interceptions and make very few mistakes. And at this time of year, we always talk about, hey, when the weather gets cold and all of these different things. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, particularly his style of quarterback, has played a way that is extremely conducive to whatever brand of football you want to roll out this postseason.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers have proven they can win a lot of different ways, whether it's leaning on the run game, as we saw in that Thursday night game against the Arizona Cardinals, where there's Aaron Rodgers airing that thing out and throwing it all over the yard, whether it's a defensive battle. We've seen them compete and win a lot of different ways this season, and when you have somebody that's on the eve of winning back-to-back MVPs, it's hard not to say that you trust that guy once you get into the postseason. But I also look at it this way. There's a reason why Aaron Rodgers is 1-3 in conference championship weekend. There's a reason why he hadn't been to only one Super Bowl. There's a reason why he hasn't had the success that his talent level would say that he should, and it's just because it's a different quarterback once we get into the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that he's not a really good quarterback once we get into the playoffs, but there's a difference between regular season Aaron Rodgers and playoff Aaron Rodgers, and take it from me, take it from one that's actually been there, done that, got the T-shirt, I know. So I'm just looking at this when it comes to the trust factor. And when we're talking about the top quarterbacks, we're splitting hairs here in terms of trying to differentiate between the three. But when it comes to power ranking the top quarterbacks in this postseason field, I would probably go Tom Brady number one. I would go Pat Mahomes number two. And I would go Aaron Rodgers number three.
Yeah, I know this is going to feel weird to say here, but I would probably flip that order. I'd go Rodgers, Mahomes, and Brady on this one. Again, the trajectory, it's so hard to take these guys out of what they're going through as a team because we've talked so much about this Chiefs team, how dangerous they've looked down the stretch. And it, for me, Chris, there's always also that factor of maybe as a former O-lineman, how much can I count on this person to get me out of trouble? And we've seen that with Rodgers. We saw that especially last week for Pat Mahomes here. Brady has always been able to do it in his own way, but we know if there's any crack in the foundation, when we've seen pressure go and affect him, Tom is uniquely susceptible to that because he's not a guy that's moving around there and doing it. That's not knocking the goat. Like you said, we're splitting this thing by hairs here. The drop-off, by the way, once you get out of that top three to four, Seth Walder has Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills at four, and Chris, while I think he is spectacular and is going to pose hell on earth as a challenge for the New England Patriots this weekend here, when you started getting in the range of him and Joe Burrow, you want to talk about guys we've seen look different on this stage here. Josh Allen's been a roller coaster ride in the postseason so far in his career.
Yeah, and we haven't seen the incremental improvement in Josh Allen's game. We looked at what he did last year, and a lot of folks had him preseason as a dark horse MVP candidate, and he just hasn't been consistent enough in order to warrant that type of consideration, that type of merit. Now, that doesn't take away from the top-end ability. When he's at his best, he can spin it with anybody. He's got an arm that can throw a ball through a brick wall. But it's just a matter of being able to harness all of that to continuously put him, his team in situations where they can be successful. And to, I guess, the credit or discredit of the coaching staff, they haven't necessarily done all the things that they need to do in order to take full advantage of everything that Josh Allen is bringing to the table. We talked about how much of a specimen he is, how big of a guy he is, and his ability to utilize his legs in that offense. That's something that Brian Daboll has to unleash. And I think you've seen that throughout the course of the last three or four games of the regular season. It's going to take more of that in order to bring out the best version of Josh Allen. And based on what this team has been throughout the course of this year, they're going to need that if they want to get to where they want to go.
Yeah, there is a one-way path, and you're absolutely right. It runs through Josh Allen's arms and, quite frankly, his legs. That was the difference in the second matchup we saw with the Patriots. And based on what we're seeing about the temperatures, it's likely going to have to be the difference this weekend. We'll get into more of that and some of the other challenges these quarterbacks are getting ready to face. But coming up next, we have one general manager already starting to heat up the seat of one what we thought was NFL starter heading into 2022. We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Lance Zierlein, radio host down in the Houston, Texas area here, friend of the show, guy we've talked to a lot as things have changed around that organization. As we got the news per Adam Schefter and the Houston Chronicle reporting that David Coley, the Texans head coach, was fired after 1 year, he becomes the first one-and-done coach in the franchise's history. And, Chris, we talked a lot about the message that this decision sends. And I thought this was interesting. Matt Miller, who's a draft scout for us here at ESPN, had posed this earlier in the week as news was starting to surface around the Texans evaluating David Coley and the staff. Matt Miller tweeted, AKA, they're seeing if they can convince another coach, in parentheses, Brian Flores, to take this job and or if Deshaun Watson would be open to staying under a new coach before they move on. You said they may know something in making this move, Chris, and this would be an awful lot of breadcrumbs that make this situation add up to the results we've gotten today.
Yeah, I can understand that logic, that thought process, but you're not changing the owner. Cal McNair is still there, and you can't walk back the statement that he made about not letting the inmates run the prison. And then you have Jack Easterby in the mix, sticking his nose into football operations and personnel decisions. So if you're Deshaun Watson, I don't know that a coaching change changes your position in terms of your trust and belief in the organization being able to surround you with the requisite talent that it takes to compete at the highest level. So I get the Hail Mary pass that they're trying to make, but it also creates a bad look because you didn't give David Culley, a black head coach, a fair shake when it came to the opportunity to develop his program and move the Houston Texans forward. So it ends up being a bad look for the Houston Texans unless they actually get the results from it. And yes. Based on all the information that we have, I have a hard time seeing that come to fruition.
Yeah, we should question this organization's ability to get any results because, like you said, it is still Cal McNair. It is still Jack Easterby. It is still the same names who have made questionable decisions before that prior to the legal issues, again, for Deshaun Watson, were a main reason, by and large, why that quarterback seemed to want to get away from this organization here. And you're right. This is about the NFL's past sins, the way that they've dealt with minority coaching candidates, because I understand David Culley was not getting a lot of NFL head coaching opportunities aside from this one. That he was not a name we expected to be in all of this. And Chris, this was not a situation we believed he would succeed. We knew it was a deal with only two guaranteed years and that he was boarding a sinking ship. But it's still, when you look at it, outperforming any expectation we could have had for the tire fire that was the situation he walked into. This is going to be a bad look, no matter what level of Texan sympathizer you may be.
No question, and now it raises a bigger issue with the NFL in terms of how minority head coaches are treated and their performance on the job in comparison to their white counterparts. And Gojo, I made the point to you during the break, when I came into the NFL in 2005, there were six black head coaches. Six. Today, there's only one. How can we make the claim that we're making progress when it seems like we're hustling backwards and black head coaches aren't getting as long a runway when it comes to turning around programs as white head coaches? It's a problem that the NFL is going to have to deal with. We'll see how everything shakes out with this hiring cycle. But again, the Houston Texans contributing to a bigger problem in terms of the perception that the NFL has in terms of how they treat minority head coaches, man. This is going to be an issue that's not going away. The feelings, the vibes that were invoked when we saw what happened with John Gruden and the leaked emails and how he talked about D'Amora Smith and some of the attitudes that were reflected in those correspondence with Bruce Allen, it just makes it feel like they aren't valuing the contributions that minorities in and around this game are making to the overall product, and that's reflected in a lack of representation when it comes to the top of the organization's hierarchies with general managers and head coaches.
David Culley managed to wring four wins out of this franchise. I know he wasn't perfect. I know his in-game decision-making wasn't always perfect. But to fire him after 1 year, after what we saw, like firing Urban Meyer after 1 year for what we saw down in Jacksonville makes sense for someone who continually put the organization in terrible spots privately and publicly and mismanaged your talent. There was no reason for success to be in Houston this year. And right now, you're going to struggle unless you, again, like you said, Chris, win with results on the backside of this, find reasons to be able to justify it on the other side. Canny and Golic Jr. here. Jumpstart the new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. This was another interesting thing we saw, Chris. Per Mike Wells on Twitter, Chris Ballard talking about Carson Wentz said, quote, "At the time, we felt it was the right decision." I'm assuming in bringing him over here. "I'm not going to make any comment on who is going to be here next year and who is not." Chris, that to me says, hey, you know what? All those offseason quarterback sweepstakes we talk about with the veteran quarterbacks that may potentially be on the move, it might be time to start adding the Indianapolis Colts to the list of potential landing spots.
Just think about how bad this is, Gojo. They shipped a first-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles to bring over Carson Wentz and then gave him a bag in a contract extension with the expectation that he would take this team not only to the playoffs, but being able to go on a run and trying to compete for a championship. Carson Wentz got handed the keys to a brand new Ferrari. That was the Colts roster. They were a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense back in 2020. There was no excuse as to why he wouldn't be able to have success with the emergence of Michael Pittman Jr. as a receiver and seeing what Jonathan Taylor has become, being in the conversation for MVP in the league's top leading rusher. Just looking at what that defense has continued to build on under Matt Eberflus. I don't understand why they weren't able to have success. And then, to cap it all off, going into Week 17 and Week 18, all you had to do was win one of two games against the Raiders or the Jaguars, and you would be in the postseason, and Carson Wentz wasn't able to get that done. He wasn't able to accomplish what a past his prime Phillip Rivers was able to do with largely the same exact team a year ago. It's inexcusable, and I get why Chris Ballard isn't committing to Carson Wentz and why Frank Reich isn't committing to Carson Wentz being the starting quarterback in 2022.
Nope, they have no reason to for all the things you just mentioned and the absolute truckload of cap space that they've got here. TJ Lang, former NFL offensive lineman, did throw this out here in response. About a Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers package here. Let's start to get crazy this offseason.
I like it.
With all
I like
the uncertainty
it.
Out there in the universe. But coming up next, let's look at the NBA. News about one superstar today is going to have a lot of people asking, did one team miss their window to maximize a return for a player starting to age? Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.